Welcome to another inspiring message from Pastor David Hall, Senior Pastor of LifePoint Church. For more information, visit our website on www.davidhall.com.au.
Speak this morning and start a series, and we're going to have a few different people contributing to the series, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me about doing a series called Great Hymns of the Faith. Great Hymns of the Faith. Some of you older Pentecostals will sit here and go, finally, it's about time. I've been praying for this. Bless you. Some of you young people are going, what's a hymn? And I thought we were equal opportunity. It should be a him and a her. And here's the thing. Some of the old hymns that were written 200 years ago contain some of the most fabulous theology that, and I'm not bitter. I don't get up and go, there's messages being lost in the body of Christ. But there are messages being lost in the body of Christ that are beautiful. And there's theologies that some of you might not even have heard. I'm sure you'll believe them, but you've never heard them. And so I just want to preach, obviously, out of the Bible. My text is not the hymn. My text is the text. But I want to have a look at, I feel the anointing of God here today. I want to have a look today at Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to have a look at verse 19. And this is a great scripture. Please get this in your spirit today. Please get this in your spirit. Open your heart. Lord, I pray, anoint this word this morning. Let the Holy Ghost be upon this word this morning. Lord, I pray that people would know that they 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 are born again by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said together, amen and amen. Verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, somebody say boldness, to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Somebody say assurance. Full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. In full assurance. In 1873, a lady by the name of Phoebe Knapp was having a pipe organ installed in her home. And so while the organ was being installed, it wasn't ready to be played, so she humbled herself and played her old piano. And she starts playing this melody on her piano. Da 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 da. 10 house points if you guess it. And her friend Fanny Crosby. How many have ever heard of Fanny Crosby? Wrote some great hymns. This is one of them. She comes over to hang out with Phoebe. And so there's Fanny and Phoebe just having a chat. And Knapp shows her the melody. Da, 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 da. And she says to her, she says, what do you think this melody says? And without even thinking, she said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Behind just that one statement, there's theology all through the song, and we'll get to as much of it as we can. But behind that one statement, blessed assurance, is more power for you to walk boldly in your faith than nearly anything that you can even imagine, because there is a doctrine called assurance. And assurance of salvation. And that is this, that you can not just be born again, but you can know that you're saved. Now, you might sit here and go, well, that's obvious, but you don't know the hundreds of times I've had a young person or an older person come up to me and say, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or if I'm going to hell. I'm just not sure. And you might see that same person, and never judge the person, by the way, but you might see that same person at the altar every time there's an altar call given, because there is a sense in them that they have no security in their eternity. But there is a sense of not having a firm conviction that you're actually born again. And the truth is, you don't just have to live having prayed a prayer, surrendered your life to Jesus, but be in doubt. You don't have to doubt that. You can know that you 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 know that when you die, boom, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Saved without a doubt. Saved, and you know that you're born again. I want to talk about assurance. We're going to just break this up for a little bit, but I want to talk about assurance. Blessed, living with this blessed assurance. 1 John, let's have a look at 1 John. Is anyone happy today? Yeah. Blessed assurance. Well, glory to God. 1 John 4. Verse 12, it says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Now listen to this, verse 13. By this we know, or by this we can be assured of. We can be sure. By this we know. Somebody say, by this we know. Come on, by this we know. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. I'm going to can I read a good chunk of scripture for a minute? Is that all right? Let's just go. Whoever can verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love of God, the love that God has for us, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us that we may have the holiness of the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. You don't have to, we live with the fear of God, but we don't fear God in the sense that we think every time we mess up, we're going to hell or we lose our salvation. You're going to heaven, man. Does anyone believe that this morning? And if you don't know, you will by the end of this sermon. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he doesn't see? And this commandment we have from him, he who loves God must also love his brother. Verse number 1 of chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, and that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great scripture? Came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is his Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. What does bear witness mean? They're in agreement. They bear witness to what I'm telling you today. You're born again. You're saved by the grace of God. Washed in the blood of Jesus. There are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word. Notice it's capital W for the Word. So who's he talking about? Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. There are three that bear witness on the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given his Son. Three more verses. Here we go. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life in his Son. He who has the Son has what? Has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in my name, of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. By this we know, blessed assurance. We know that 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 we know. That we know that we know that we know that we know. That you don't have to sit in church when somebody gets up and says, hey, maybe you haven't been living right. Maybe you've messed up, or You don't have to doubt that you're suddenly outside of the kingdom of God. You've been brought near by his blood. You have not been brought near by your good works. You've not been brought near by your good behavior. You've not been brought near by stepping into a five-step works program to tick all the boxes. Let me tell you, the minute we try to tick all the boxes of God, we'll never be able to tick the boxes that come to a place of perfection. That's why he said, you're not good enough to save yourself. I'm saving you by the blood of my son, Jesus. And when you've been saved by grace, when you stand before God, he doesn't look at the person. He looks at the blood of Jesus. And so you stand clean. And the blood pleads your case, not guilty, because you're born again. You're free by the grace of God. The word justified in the Bible is a powerful word. It means just as if you'd never sinned at all. You are justified by the grace of God. We get in the process of being sanctified, which is growing in character and growing in the knowledge of God and maturity, but we live justified by the presence of God. But I don't want to get ahead of myself because that is one of my thoughts, but I want to give you a few things you can be assured of this morning as Christians. Are you ready for the word today? Number one, it's eternal life. Somebody say eternal life. You might know all this, but it's good to have a refresher every now and then. You're going to heaven. You've got the sad thing is, everyone has eternal life. But it's where you spend eternity that he's talking about. When I'm talking about eternal life, it's eternity with God in heaven. There's a scripture that I'm sure most of you would know by heart. John chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Prophetic of Jesus being lifted up on Calvary, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, somebody say whosoever. Do I have any whosoevers in the house today? I'm a whosoever. You're a whosoever. I don't know. Pastor George was a drunk before he got saved. He told me that he didn't have kids until 6 years into the marriage because he was too crazy that Pastor Sophie said, absolutely not. So he gets born again, gets it together. They have some kids. But let me tell you right now, he comes across so well behaved. But he was naughty before he was born again. Was anyone else naughty before you were born again? I see that hand. I see all those hands. And I see the non-hands. Liars will not inherit the kingdom of God, but don't doubt your salvation. But here's the deal. The deal is simply this. Whosoever is a worse criminal, it's the worst person you can even imagine. It's the most broken, hurting person in the world, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. If you're in this place today, you're a whosoever. And I want to tell you, he won't turn anyone away. It doesn't matter what your past is. Jesus isn't too concerned about your past. He's concerned about your future. And all you have to do is accept what he did for you on Calvary. Man, I feel like preaching the gospel this morning. You accept his atoning work on Calvary and you are made free by the grace of God. And whom the Son sets free is free. There you go. Hashtag free. Bless God. I'm happy this morning. Blessed assurance. Jesus is my... John 3:36 says, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. It doesn't say the one who believes in the Son with a little asterisk by Son and then a whole lot of little rules. There's no fine print to the grace of God. There's no fine print to the blood of Jesus. There's no fine... Sometimes religion adds fine print. Religion adds extra rules because it wants to control. We don't want to control. We want to just point you to him and let him work on your heart and work on your life and satisfy your soul and bring Jesus into your world so you can walk free by the grace of God. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. He who has the Son has life. He says believe. Some of us, we just need to make sure our belief is working really well. Just make sure we believe. God, I believe. The problem is sometimes we don't feel what we believe, but we're not moved by what we feel. We're moved by what we believe and who we believe in. Can someone say amen today? Bless God. 1 John 5:11. I said this already. He who has a son has life, but he who does not have son, have the son have life. He doesn't have life. Second thing, a blessed assurance gives us. Number two is forgiveness of all sin. Somebody say all sin. Acts 10:43 says, about him all the prophets testify that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Colossians 2:13, it says, and even though you were dead in your transgressions and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he nevertheless has made you alive in him, having forgiven all your transgressions. You know, I am not a perfect man. I know if you ask my wife, she's still very impressed with how well behaved I really am. Sometimes when I walk in the room, Donna just goes, wow, you're so spiritual. It's so often, and to be honest, I say you need to calm that down. I get arrogant, full of pride. Would you say that? How true is that out of 10? In the negative? Yeah, no. No, that's fine. Just pray for Donna. She's pregnant. It's the hormones talking. I'm not perfect. But do you know something? I've never, even when I mess up and when I get it wrong, maybe there's something wrong with me, Pastor George, but I've never felt like I can't boldly access the presence of God. Because I've got a little boy now. When you have a kid, you learn a lot about the father heart of God. My son can be a very, 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 very sweet little boy. He can be gorgeous. There are other times where he can be a little bit more like a child of other people who we don't know. But I can tell you one thing. I love him through all of that. How much more his perfect love casts out fear. I don't have to fear going to him because there's a perfect love. And the reason it's perfect is it's not based on anything I do. It's based on how beautiful he is. And I want to tell you today, you might not feel worthy of the blood of Jesus. I want to make this easy for you. You're not. Oh, well, I'm not worthy for all the goodness of God. No, you're not. But his blood makes you worthy. I mean, it's not fair. Salvation is not fair. Grace and mercy isn't fair. Mercy says, you know what, I'm not going to send you to hell. That's mercy. Grace says, Not only am I not going to send you to hell, but I'm going to take you to heaven and I'm going to give you a blessed life on the way. Mercy and grace. His mercy is new every morning. His grace abounds. Where sin abounds, grace does more so. Can I say today, stop beating yourself. I'm a holiness preacher in that I don't believe we should just have grace without repentance and grace and we can just do whatever we like. I believe the grace, our response to the grace of God should be a righteous life and living right. I say all that to say this, but at the end of the day, grace does not need us to maintain. We don't have to maintain the grace of God. We should just walk in the grace of God and just live out what is done on the inside of our heart and of our life. Let's keep going. The third sign of blessed assurance is freedom from condemnation. John 5:24 says, I tell you the solemn truth. The one who hears my message and believes the one who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, but has crossed over from death to life. Romans 8:1. There is therefore, somebody say therefore. I want to talk about that for a moment. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who are in. That word in means a fixed, unchangeable position. You say you're preaching eternal security. I'm not preaching eternal security, but I will tell you, the blood of Jesus goes a lot further than I think religion wants to tell us as well. The Bible says nothing can pluck you out of the hands of God. I want to tell you, if you've messed up or got it wrong, stop believing you're going to hell. Start confessing the righteousness of God and say, God, I'm clean by your grace. I'm clean by your mercy. I'm clean by the anointing of God. You are washing me by your precious blood. I walk in salvation. I walk in victory. You don't have to live condemned. The word condemned, if a building is condemned, it means it is by people who know construction and safety and safety codes, they will tell you if a building's condemned, it's of no valid use. It's unusable. It's not suitable for use. You are not at a point, no matter what you've done, that you are not suitable for use. Christians walk around feeling condemned. I'm not suitable. God can't use me. You don't know what I've done. Can I tell you, when you've got the Apostle Paul breathing threats and killing people and hurting people, do you realize that when he was on the road to Damascus, he was on the road to kill people, but he has an encounter with God. If God can change his heart, I mean, we got to start, square your shoulders, friends. Square your shoulders and say, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I'm saved by grace. I haven't got it all right. You might have a truckload of calamity behind you. Do your best to fix it, but still look forward ahead to the promises of God and say, you know what? I'm looking forward unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I feel like preaching this because some of you, you're so valuable to the kingdom of God and you don't realize it. You beat yourself up and you say, well, I did this. I've had that. I mean, I can't be used because this has happened. happened in my life. Or you live a prisoner of a divorce, or you live a prisoner of a sour business investment. You sort of feel like your credibility's gone, your confidence is gone. Can I encourage you today? Be encouraged. Take courage in your spirit. Square your shoulders. Don't be condemned. You might have had a few failures. Well, you've just learnt a few more ways of not doing it. And I want to tell you, rise up from your failure today and say, you know what? I can do all things through Christ. That's pretty good preaching, I think. I want some of these words to actually flick something in your spirit, because what lies in you is uniquely for you by the grace of God and the establishment and the expansion of the kingdom of God and its totality involves you rising up in what's within you. Bless God. Hallelujah. Freedom. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore. Somebody say therefore. Therefore. What did I tell you last week? If you see a therefore, you've got to ask the question, what's the therefore, therefore? Because Paul in Romans 7, Romans 8 is all victorious, but Romans 7, you see how Paul's life is just as conflicted as yours and mine. He starts saying, there's things I do that I really wish I didn't do. And the things I know I should do, I don't do. Does that sound like you? Not me, but I'm a pastor. But all of you, humble people. Can I tell you, I'm forever doing the things I don't want to do and the things I should do. Let's take dinner. You look at the dinner, there's a chicken parmigiana with cheese and bless the Lord, all the something, something. And then there's your veggies. The things I should do, I don't do. The things I should eat, I don't eat. And the things I shouldn't eat, I do eat. But the Bible says, but therefore, there is now no condemnation. Some of you are condemned about that. It doesn't mean we should be reckless and not living right. But what it means is the struggle is something we all face. And let me say this. I know a lot of you are spiritual. The Apostle Paul would be the most spiritual among us. And even the Apostle Paul said, things I do that I wish I didn't do. You know, some of us sit here and we're doing nothing for the kingdom because we're so crippled by the things we shouldn't have done that we need to read on in Romans 8. Therefore, I'm still not considered unfit for use. God still has a plan for me. Today, I want to encourage you. Some of your dreams stopped on a certain date. Maybe it was a phone call, a moment, a decision. And everything stopped for you. Believe in God has a plan and a purpose for you. My word that I believe is from heaven today, there's no condemnation. Be assured of who you are. Walk boldly in the presence of God. Some of you need to square your shoulders and believe God again for his promises to come to pass in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. Another benefit of blessed assurance is justification. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we've been declared righteous by faith, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says Abraham in Romans 4 believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Romans 4:25, he was given over because of our transgressions and raised on Calvary for the sake of our justification. Just as if I'd never sinned at all. You know, I've done wrong things. Remember Dad was wearing a suit one day. I thought it'd be funny to shove him in the swimming pool. So I did. I got the worst belting I ever got in my life. I'll tell you something. It was worth it. It was totally worth it. I've done naughty things. I've messed up. I've done things I'm ashamed of. I don't know about you. Look at all your halos just appearing like I've done nothing. You know where liars go, don't you? Now I'm conflicted with the message. But if the truth is not in you, let me say this. We need to be a people that make peace with the stuff we've done and just move on. Maybe to move on, you need to ring up someone and say, I'm sorry. Can I just say, people are funny with apologies. They are funny with apologies. I am forever trying to get people to fix things. It's just what I do. I'm trying to be the reconciler. I'm not reconciling unless that person apologizes. The way I operate is, even if I'm like 3% wrong and they're 97% wrong, which generally is the case. For me, apologising isn't about admitting I'm wrong. It's not about admitting that I'm the one to take all the blame. When I apologise, I do it because I care about relationship more than I care about being right. You can be right and be very lonely. Well, I'm right. Yeah, but you're sitting at home by yourself watching So You Think You Can Dance while everyone else is having a great time. I tell you, being right is totally overrated. That's overrated. Not saying sorry. I don't know how that feels good. I say sorry. You ask my wife. I say sorry. She takes a while. It is true. You are stubborn. But I'm going to, Father, I pray. No, my wife is, I'm blessed. I'm favoured. So is she. But well, I say all this to say, I think sometimes we just don't say sorry. We just somehow wake up and hold a militant position. I think we've got to just be Christians. Just deal with stuff and say, you know what? I don't even know how this war started, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry too. And then you hug and fix it, maybe. Or maybe not, I don't know. But have a go. Walk in freedom. Unforgiveness is not a great place to live. I don't know if it was you who said it. No, it wasn't you who said it, Pastor. Someone was talking about unforgiveness to me the other day and said unforgiveness is a funny thing. It's like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Another sign of blessed assurance is salvation. Isn't that beautiful? Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for you saved through faith. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, so that no one can boast. A sixth sign of blessed assurance is you're a child of God by faith. John 1:12, but to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become God's children. Romans 8:14-15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery leading again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness that we are God's children. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Song goes on. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. I'm purchased of God. Filled with his goodness. Washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I love this. This is beautiful. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Foretaste of heaven. Foretaste. Your assurance is a foretaste of what's to come. When God works in your life, what is it? It's a foretaste of what's to come. God offers us a foretaste. Every time he does something through you or in you or by your hands or in your life, what is that? It is a foretaste of glory divine. When you see the hand of God move, it's a foretaste of what's to come. Let me tell you, when we go to heaven, Keith Wilson, and I say this with respect, I'm not trying to use their tragedy as a preaching point, but right now he's walking in the foretaste of what he experienced here on earth. When you're in church, you lift your hands and you sense the presence of God. It is but a foretaste of glory divine. It is but a foretaste of what's to come. It's but a foretaste of heaven. You can know the grace of God. You can know the anointing of God's Spirit. It's simply a foretaste. The greatest encounters with God are a foretaste of what's to come. I don't know about you. Maybe we don't talk about it enough, but I cannot wait until I get to be with Jesus. I cannot wait until I walk the streets of gold. I cannot wait to be in heavenly arms abiding. I cannot wait to see the glory of my God. When I stand before God, I lay my crowns at his feet and I say, holy, holy, holy is all. I cannot wait. We used to talk about heaven so much, we didn't do much when we lived on earth. Now we talk about earth, 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 and we don't talk about heaven. We've got to live for eternity. The Bible says it's set eternity in the hearts of man. It's a foretaste of glory divine. Are you happy this morning? Do you love Jesus in the house? Let me go on just talking about assurance for one moment. I want to say this, that the greatest form of assurance I believe you can have, the highest form of assurance you can have, is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because you have that sense of God's Spirit alive on the inside. I don't know anyone that speaks in tongues that doesn't know without a shadow of a doubt out where they're going, who the power is that helps them and guides them. It's the Spirit of God. But when I pray in tongues, I can't help but have the Spirit bear witness that the Son of God's alive with healing in his wings. And that's why I pray as a church that every person in our church would be baptized in the Holy Spirit with a following manifestation of praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking in an unknown tongue. You say, do I have to? You don't have to, but you get to. It's not a have to, it's a get to. Do I have to be blessed? No, you get to be blessed. Do I have to have joy? No, you get to have joy. The get to's are awesome. Anyway, moving right along. The second verse, perfect submission, perfect delight. I love this. I really love this. You try and find any recording of Blessed Assurance now, they've cut this verse out. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Fanny Crosby, when she wrote this song, she was blind. She couldn't see. But sometimes you can see and still be blind. And sometimes you can be blind, but oh, you can see. She saw what Paul talked about in Thessalonians, that the trump of God had sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, corruptible will put on incorruptible, mortality will put on immortality. We would be caught up to meet him in the clouds. I'm a big believer in the rapture of the church. I believe it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but if you hear a shout and you hear a voice, you better repent, because once you hear the trump, it's all boom, we're gone, we're out of here, left behind maybe. But here's the deal. The movie's hopeless, but the doctrine's true. But the truth of the matter is, she's saying perfect submission, perfect delight, vision, blind. She couldn't see, but she still saw with the eye of faith. There's a time coming where Jesus is going to return in power and glory. Perfect submission. I believe assurance does come with a price. And that price is submission to God. I think sometimes we want to take God on our terms, but he is still Lord. We have to bow our knee to Jesus. Perfect submission. Perfect delight. Verse 3 talks about perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. And then the chorus, which I love. And it's simple. I don't know about you, I'm having a great old time. I'm reliving my childhood. The thing is, I'm reliving half of your childhoods as well, and they're a long time apart from mine. But I love these songs. They say stuff that's powerful. I think our new songs say stuff that's powerful. The Bible says, sing to the Lord a new song. I believe we should be singing new songs, but every now and then, it's just good to hear the gospel. There's theology in some of these hymns, and we're gonna preach about It Is Well With My Soul. We're going to speak about Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And the chorus, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. The Bible says in Revelation that we overcome the enemy with two things: the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. My story is different to your story, but it's the same story. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. This is my story. I think what it would have been like to maybe be in the early church and might have had testimony service, and maybe that little boy who fed Jesus with and 15,000 others with two fish and five loaves. I wonder what his testimony was when he got home with 12 baskets left over. His mum had sent him with two fish and five loaves of bread. And he comes home, 12 baskets left over. I mean, that's a testimony to the abundance of God. What a story. His mum, I always worry that the mum would have given him a hiding for stealing. You're lying, Johnny. You did not. Mum, I did. And I'm being persecuted for the goodness of God. I want to tell you today, we've all got a testimony. Maybe you were in a kitchen and somebody was having dinner with you and told you about Jesus and you said, you know what, I'm going to give God a go. Or maybe you're in church one morning and the pastor gets up and tells you that if you surrender your life to Jesus, you can have eternity in heaven and you can be born again. And so you took the preacher at his word and you can truly say you left that place and you knew something changed. What it was blessed assurance. You know, today, we have a testimony. We have a story. I wonder what church would have been like in that early church. The little boy gets up and says, oh, there were 12 baskets left over. I was like, "Woo! Tell it again. It's awesome. Then Bartimaeus gets up and he said, oh, I heard him coming by the roadside. And I said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And he said, son, whoo, bless Jesus. Sorry if I get happy this morning. I'm just happy. But son, your faith has made you well. And he gets up and he testifies. I wonder if the woman with the issue of blood gets up one Sunday morning. I've got a testimony. I know you've heard it before, but there was a multitude around him. I knew if I could just touch his clothes, something would happen. And I just touched him and boom, I felt the power of the Holy Ghost come out of Jesus and get on me. The bleeding stopped and I've been healed. Then Lazarus gets up. That's all he had to do. And then he sat back down again. And everyone's like, yeah, we know. Yeah, yours is the best. You win. He simply just stands up. And by being there, what a testimony. Some of you just being here is a testimony in itself. Come on, help me preach a little bit. This is what you do. This is my story. I want us to stand this morning. This is just an old hymn. But when we start singing, This Is My Story, I want you to rejoice. You've got a testimony. Does anyone have a testimony this morning? Is anyone glad they're saved? Does anyone believe in the finished work of Jesus in your heart and in your life? Come on. Why don't we give the Lord a shout of praise for his goodness this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. Father, we bless you. Thank you, Ari. Why don't you leave?